There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hameed, my co-host.
This is podcast number 808, October 28th, 2019. Nasser.
Gracias, amigo. Lewis's lucky chihuahua. No in-flight menudo for Max. Now back to the host, the Don Pedro of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, lucky LCH in Mexico go all the way. How can Ferrari lose this one when apparently they have this huge cheating advantage? And Renault is not cheating. This is bullcrap. They've used the same system for ever. And just to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you'll want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. And I say uno, dos, tres. Ferrari has done it again. They were on pole position in the last three races, and victory in each of them went to Mercedes' team. Gee, what a surprise. But the race was very exciting and intense. You know, 10 laps to go, it looked like any of the top four drivers could win the race. I really, really enjoyed the thrill of not knowing who will win till the checkered flag was waved. And I hope our F1 Weekly Familia member in Mexico, Senor Eduardo, was there and had a good time. Some photos, please, if you don't mind. Did you enjoy the race, sir?
I thought it was stinko, stinko, and stinko. First of all, I mean, you know, even Roscoe is not happy about this. You can't blame him, you know. And I agree, he didn't let up. The pole was taken away from Max Verstappen, given to Charles Leclerc, but to be honest with you, at least Max Verstappen would have done something with the pole, whereas Ferrari just mess it all up. They're just incapable of complex and deep thinking and self-analysis. So that was a complete waste of time. And I don't know what you're talking about, but the last friggin' 27 laps, really, Lewis Hamilton had this in the bag because nobody can catch up to him. There is no friggin' cheating advantage from Ferrari. If they were cheating and they had an advantage on straight line speed, they would have passed Hamilton with tires that were so wore out, they were not worth putting on a Studebaker. So I am so confused. Once again, I'm confused in Japan. I go to Mexico. The in-flight burrito is great, but once I get on the ground, I am so confused again why Ferrari, with all this straight-line speed and they're cheating, so they must win, can't win because Lewis Hamilton is the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Back to you, Nasser.
Well, you know, I disagree with you. Ferrari is not getting confused by complex decision-making. I think they are getting confused by simple decision-making. If your car is running first and second, and you have a very good advantage in the straight, and you still don't win the race, not just one, but two or three, then, you know, there's something going on here. Maybe we need to bring back Luca di Montezemolo, though. I don't know. And as far as I do agree with you with on the Max situation, this was a great, great opportunity for him to win this race. Not saying he would have won it easily, but there would have been a lot of excitement if he was mixing at the front with the Ferraris, especially his BFF Charles Leclerc. But it was not to be, and that's the way these things happen sometimes. But, you know, Seb was very close to within striking distance to LCH in the closing stages, and he had much fresher tires. Bottas was looking like he was on fire, California fire, and coming after the red car. But, hey, that's the way it goes. And, you know, as I've said many times before, looks like everybody wants Lewis to win another race, as if he does not have enough wins. And when you keep winning, when you win 10 out of 18 races, chances are sooner or later you will be world champion. But before we go into nitty-gritty details, shall we take a quick look at the quali, Senor?
Please.
I would like to hear your comments on Bottas crashing. What say you?
Oh, that was the best part. The problem is he was trying to come up. See, so, you know, Lewis Hamilton is lowering his carbon footprint. Therefore, everything that he eats has to have a low carbon footprint. Therefore, the salad, and especially the iceberg lettuce, which is grown right here in California, unfortunately is flown to Lewis Hamilton's household via 747, which has a large footprint. So see, Bottas was trying to figure out if he's capable of farming the lettuce in some boxes that he could carry around in the paddock to lower Lewis's carbon footprint, so Lewis would be a happier, more nourished man deep within the bowels of his soul. And in all that thinking, he lost control.
Well, you know, I just hope you're staying away from these California flames.
Bravo, prego.
Okay, so let's take a look here. As we said, you know, Ferrari actually has been on pole in every race since the summer break, which is very impressive. Ferrari package has been so good, even their number two driver got on pole at Suzuka. And that's an early singer of the day. Out in Q1 were the two Haas cars, which included a spin by Grosjean. Surprise, surprise. The two Williams drivers and Lance Stroll for Team Pepito. Max and teammate Albon first and second in Q1. So it was looking very good for Red Bull from the start of quali festivities. Q2, heartbreak for natives as Checo was 11th fastest. Lucky Dog and Wingman led a silver streak followed by two red cars. There were four Honda-powered cars making it to Q3, which means the famous radio message that was sent out to Arnage needs to be sent out again to somebody else. And please allow me to say, good evening, Mr. Alonso. And with that, we come to Q3. Max was machismo man and put the Red Bull on pole. Leclerc second ahead of new numero dos at Ferrari. Lucky Dog was the other man and second on second row. As mentioned, Wingman had a big crash on the final lap, which did not please Toto Wolff, who I consider to be the Curtis LeMay of Mercedes F1. And then came the law. Max was stripped of his second career pole for not slowing down when yellow flags were waving after Bottas fought the wall and the wall won. Interestingly, last pole for Ferrari in Mexico City was by Clay Regazzoni in 1970, and last man to ride a prancing horse to victory there was Professor Alain Prost in 1990. Any thoughts you want to have on the qualifying?
No. I'm just concerned about this Renault thing. They're cheating. Their Japanese results were stricken from the record. Yep, a system that they've been using since late 2014. Apparently, somebody over at the pink team, as I call them, was whining and complaining, and it was done. But how do these things happen? There's inspections at every race. The system has been in the car since 2015. Am I missing something here?
Well, you know, there's also a thing called sophisticated cheating. And that's how Toyota was thrown out of World Rally Championship for a couple of seasons not too long ago. And then we had the fuel tank within a fuel tank of Bart Honda, of which Nick Frye told the FIA investigative committee he had no idea it was there. So these things happen. And apparently it was a disgruntled employee who spilled the beans. And what can you do? And, you know, the other thing is that expanding Michelin tire, that was not used for the first time in the 2001 Hungarian Grand Prix. That was also in use. So teams complain when it's beneficial to them. That's what I have seen. So, but talking of Renault, and your prophecy may come true. There is apparently an interim CEO, Clotilde, I believe is the lady's name. And they want to look at everything because they're having problem. Everybody's having problem. And so I'm now concerned about Renault staying in Formula One for the long haul, which would be sad. And you said the race was Stinko probably because there was no Nando. So if there is no Nando and there is no Renault, what are you going to do? It's good that you have developed a great affinity for NASCAR. At least you can have 45 weeks of fantastic non-stop round and round racing action.
Well, it's better than watching Formula Lewis Hamilton.
Well, I think the days of Formula Lewis Hamilton are pretty much over. You know, Mercedes are not on pole these days.
They don't have to be on pole. They don't even have to be on the front row when he wins. I mean, the whole thing is rigged.
No, it's not rigged. You know, he is showing his maturity. And but I have to say, when he fell down to like fourth or fifth with some argy-bargy with Max, I thought he's not going to win this race now. And for me, I really thought it was going to be either Sebastian or Charles Leclerc. I frankly did not expect Albon to win the race. But, you know, it's a very good team strategy. What I've noticed now, the more Lewis is complaining, my tires are not working, I need more power, chances are he's going to win that race. Because even in this race, he was complaining, why did you bring me in so early? And his, you know, regular engineer Pete Bonington is sick, missing in action in Mexico and also in Texas. So we wish him well. But it just goes to show that this whole Mercedes package, you know, is a very well-oiled machine.
And that's my point. That's my point. People don't understand. They're the ones that are cheating. They're giving him the power. To be on those vintage tires and for this Ferrari that has such tremendous straight-line speed with fresher tires cannot catch a Mercedes. What we have here is cheating, my friend. There is something wrong.
Well, you know, I've seen even talents like Lewis and Raikkonen. You know, when Max Verstappen won his first race, Raikkonen was right within DRS range in Catalonia. And even with DRS, he could not pass him. So this is all part of the aerodynamics of the car. And Lewis, sooner or later, you will have to admit, I think you should really have breakfast at Flames with Nando, and Nando will convince you how good Lewis is. Because if there's anybody who knows how good Lewis Hamilton is as a race car driver, it's Fernando Alonso. And he can speak from close combat experience.
Well, apparently, the other thing that's very funny, he was babbling about how he misses his engineer, blah, blah, blah. He's texting him for advice. Didn't need his engineer, did he?
Yeah, but then again, you know, this, I mean, you look at the situation with Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel. I mean, it was pretty obvious when Sebastian Vettel joined that team that sooner or later he's going to take over that team. And, you know, when you have one driver winning, how many races he won? Like, I think 9 in a row, a total 13, and your teammate does not win a single race. So there is a fine line between a good, very good driver and a great driver. And we've seen that in many, many cases. And I think that's what we are seeing at Mercedes right now. I mean, you have to look at it this way. The win that Lewis is bringing, do you think if Bottas had another teammate whose name was not Alonso or Max Verstappen, that these wins would be happening?
Well, I do know one thing. Ferrari straight line speed is really, I mean, I don't know who comes up with these things, because I know people are getting bored of Mercedes dominating, so they try to pump it up a little bit with fake news. There ain't no straight line speed. I mean, I just looked at Autosport with this video about how they're squirting a little oil into the combustion chamber. Listen, folks, that just makes you puff and puff and puff. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just frustrated because Fernando is not in the building anymore and he's off with Elvis. But in the other hand, to have a race where really everything, all the numbers, I had everything spread out on my desk. This was Ferrari's win, 1-2. They should have won, but they didn't win. And there's something sneaky about that whole thing. I mean, I know Christ and Lewis are one, and we love that. But there is something funky going on when everybody's telling me that Ferrari's got straight line speed up the yin yang. There's an accident on the first lap. Lewis is down to fifth, and he still wins the race because Ferrari's got great straight line speed. I have a hard time dealing with that, Nasser. And that's all. I mean, I know what we call it. We call it Fernando-itis. But nevertheless, I admit to my Fernando-itis, but I just find it strange that somebody who falls to fifth, crappy tires, and Ferrari's got the great cheating straight line speed, and they can't win. So I know maybe I'm a suspicious kind of a guy, but there's something smelly in Denmark.
Well, you know, let me just give you a very positive dose of Nando-itis. Goes back to one of my favorite wins for him in the, I think it was the European Grand Prix at Nürburgring, when he was with McLaren, and he had no chance of winning that race, and there was a little bit of rain, and he ruined Felipe Massa, who had dominated the race in the closing laps. Now, why did that happen? Because a great driver got one little opportunity, and he grabbed it and ran with it. Now, it's not Lewis Hamilton's fault if Ferrari screws up and bring their Charles Leclerc to the pits very early in the race, and then let the other guy keep running for a long time, which I think was a good gamble because he was going to have much fresher tires. But when you have a talent like LCH, and he is a talent that even your man, Nando, when Sebastian was winning all those races in championship, at the height of Vettel's dominance, Nando is on record saying he still has ways to go to reach the level of Lewis Hamilton. So you just have to suck it up, Mr. Rogers, and just believe that Lewis Hamilton is a great driver. I'm not saying he's the greatest or the bestest or anything, but this is not your average Grand Prix driver that you can purchase off the shelf at Costco with a 20% discount.
I understand, but so literally he is reaching levels of JC. Because really, we're all talking about mechanical machines. And when everybody's keeps, I mean, the pounding of the fist on the desk with Ferrari straight line speed, and we all agree that Vettel is a great driver. How could Vettel, a four-time world champion, not catch and pass somebody who had 50 lap tires on his car? I know what you're going to say, Lewis is the greatest. I'm the greatest. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. And I agree with you because maybe I'm having a hard time accepting it deep down in the bowels of Clark Rogers. So therefore, I will move on. I will do what a lot of people do. We're going to turn the page.
Okay, Mr. Bob Seger. Now, let me just give you another example. Once upon a time, who in this world, say, Thierry Boutsen is in the same league as Ayrton Senna. And would anybody ever even think about that?
We're not talking about Senna.
No, I'm just telling you. You watch one of the Hungarian Grand Prix. Boutsen was leading in his Williams, and Senna caught him in his McLaren Honda, I think it was. And for many, many laps, he was right behind him, could not pass him. These things happen. I mean, it's not like that four-time world champion could not pass him, so Lewis is cheating or something else is going on. Well, that same four-time world champion is having issues with Charles Leclerc. So, you know, you just have to admit that we're seeing a very good driver do a very good performance and taking wins, even if he gets an ounce of opportunity. He's not going to win every race. Bottas did beat him a few races ago, fair and square. So, you know, it's not like that the whole world is trying to all the luck all the driver should have is being bestowed on Lewis Hamilton. I don't think that's the case. And I want to ask you a question. I don't even know if this podcast would be happening under the name F1 Weekly if Fernando Alonso was sitting on 83 Grand Prix wins. It will be called, F1 Weekly would be called Mios Dios Nando Weekly.com. Not even weekly, it would be a daily show then.
Indeed, it would be like on podcast 25,000.
Yes, there you go. Okay, now let's go back to the race and more Lewis Hamilton for you. I mean, of course, he did not win the championship in Mexico as he had done a few times last two seasons. So now he's coming to the U.S. Grand Prix, Austin, Texas, and Moa is flying out on Thursday night. And most likely he will be world champion there. There he has won five, of the seven races. Has been very dominant there, kind of like Mark Marquez in the U.S. Are you going to have some conspiracy theory before, during, or after the U.S. Grand Prix also vis-a-vis Lewis Hamilton?
No, but I've already seen the design of the hat that they were going to put on Lewis Hamilton's head when he wins this championship, and it's very similar to the Pope's hat.
Well, maybe, you know what, it's good. I hope they give him that so he can display that and his cross on his body at the season finale. Abu Dhabi, that'll be very nice.
Yes, and
especially when the Abu Dhabi UAE Sheikh, whatever the name is giving him the trophy, he can display his achievements to him.
And there's that, you know, that painting that's in the Louvre when Napoleon is being crowned emperor, you know, and the Pope is in the background giggling and smirking. They were thinking of staging something like that for Lewis.
With Toto Wolff as the Austrian Pope?
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, one guy who was happy, which kind of surprised me, maybe he has accepted his kismet, fate, was Sebastian Vettel. He was happy with the second place. And in the post-race meet the press session, he borrowed your phrase and called Lewis lucky, saying Ferrari did not have the pace to catch and pass Lewis. I think Lewis did surprise Seb and Scuderia by not suffering the loss of grip they were expecting from the Pirelli tires. So maybe you can have a cup of cappuccino with Sebastian and just reminisce about the days Nando and Sebastian used to rule the world.
I there's a rumor, but the biggest problem is the tires that finished the race on Lewis Hamilton car are missing. And somebody suspects that under the word Pirelli, it says Michelin.
Oh, so they have the expanding tires?
I'm just telling you what I've read on the dark web.
Oh, I know what it is. You know, Pirelli is now owned by a Chinese company, okay? So before every race, they give him some fortune cookies. And when he opens them, it always says the same thing. You will win race soon. Maybe that's what it is. Okay, now we're going to move to the third man on the podium, Mr. Valtteri Bottas. Can you imagine? This guy has three wins and his teammate has 10. That's three times more wins. So, but lucky for him, he has a contract with Mercedes. Now, two Mercedes drivers on the podium was definitely an impossible dream after qualifying. But this podium for Bottas delayed the championship celebration for his teammate. And like Seb, he also made a late stop for tires And at one time, late in the race, now you can explain this now. Late in the race, Mr. Bottas was within DRS range of Seb, and I was expecting him to pass and be told as soon as he passed Seb to hold station, but that message never was never required from his favorite DJ, James Vowles. Well, Terry, this is James. Don't push Lewis. What say you on that situation, amigo? And you know, I'll tell you, when he was very close to him, you know what I was thinking, Mr. Rogers? Now, a couple of years ago, he was all over Seb, but could not make a lunge to win the race. I think it was the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Yes.
You remember that?
Every minute.
So I think Bottas is a very good driver, but I think he does not have the bite that you know, an angry Chihuahua may have, or an angry Mad Max may have, or even Charles Leclerc. So we'll see how it goes. Now, seriously, did you like the Ferrari one stop for Seb and two for Charles Leclerc?
No.
Yeah, when they brought in Charles from the lead, which was under no threat from anyone, it's not like, you know, Lewis was climbing all over Seb and him. I just had this feeling this will be a Sebastian Vettel win, because frankly, I did not think that Lewis will win the race. But lap 13 was not so lucky for Lando Norris. Even though he's driving for McLaren, he experienced spaghetti culture as one of the rear tires was not bolted properly. And Mr. Charles Leclerc, I don't know if you saw any of the press briefings and videos that is available on YouTube, but he was lost in press briefing after the race, made a good start and stopped on lap 16 and went out with medium tires, thus requiring a second pit stop for change of compound, which told me right then and then that he was, a well-done menudo soup right there. A delayed pit stop and later a lockup while closing on Bottas prevented pole sitter from appearing on the podium, which was very sad for him. He did admit he needs to better communicate with his team, but he did get one extra point for setting the fastest lap on lap 53. Whoa! Now, Mr. Albon, any thoughts on Albon running very good this race, especially in the early going, sir?
Yeah.
You like this young kid?
He's okay.
Yeah, Albon running in third place behind the two Ferraris in the early laps was very impressive, and I'm sure it earned him a lot of brownie points with Dr. Marco, an almost impossible feat to achieve. I was very surprised that after he pitted on lap 15, Ferrari brought in Leclerc to cover Albon. I mean, that is really a dumb move. If it was Max, that's another story. Nothing against Albon, but I think he is lacking in experience to take the fight to the top dogs at this stage of his young career. He did finish ahead of teammate Max, and now we come to the man who had the pole, who could have easily gotten the win. Now, easy to say this after the race on Monday evening while we're sitting in the palatial, comfortable palatial studios, but I think this could have been an easy-peasy victory for Jos's Wunderkind. Max was victim of self-inflicted wounds, both in Collie and the race. Now, this was interesting. According to media reports, he was not going to get penalized for not slowing after Bottas' crash in Q3, as his previous time was also good enough for pole. But then he said in an interview that he saw the yellow flag and did not slow down, as he knows what he's doing. And I think that did not go down with the stewards. And that this is as per what I've read in the media. At the start, a minor argy-bargy with Lewis was harmless to both, but on lap 5, he got his tire clipped by Wingman, and that smashed his chances like a piñata of a third straight win in Mexico. Do you think, sir, this was Max's win?
No.
Who would have beaten him?
Fernando.
No, seriously.
It has to be only one person. Jos. LCH.
There you go. But you know what this really shows is how poor was the decision by Daniel Ricciardo to leave a competitive ride for Yellow Fever. He could run with Max and beat him now and then. And with his best-in-class racecraft and late-breaking, Danny today would be fighting for top 5 in races and championship. Local hombre Sergio Perez, who hails from Guadalajara, delighted the fans with an impressive display of defense off a seventh place from the Honey Badger. In the pre-race festivities, while being interviewed by a chica in Spanish, the emotions and emotions of racing in front of a large and very supporting crowd got to Sergio, and he became very emotional and was choking, having a difficult time talking. And talking of pre-race festivities, I did enjoy the traditional, very colorful dance parade. Very nicely done. A lot more classy than chicas running around in thongs on a Grand Prix track. Time and place for everything I say. Did you like the pre-race festivities, sir? The dance and all that? Very colorful people?
No, I didn't get to see that because we were preempted by Channel 7 News, San Francisco.
Yeah, actually, I also saw it on YouTube. And if you want, you can check it out. It's very nicely done. They've been doing a lot of, you know, like pre-race festivities at different tracks. So it's very nice. You should check it out. Okay, so now we come to Pierre Gasly. He was ninth for Toro Rosso. And the final championship point was taken by Nico Hülkenberg. So both Renaults in the points. And I hope they get to keep these points. And I'm sure you feel the same way, Mr. Rogers.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And, well, it's been confirmed that Mr. Nando will be driving for Toyota in Dakar Rally. Does that matter?
It does.
That's good. Any thoughts on the race, sir?
No thoughts. Can we just give LCH the trophy and get it over with?
No, we have to have the races run. It's exciting to watch these races.
It is?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're going to be pumped up because you'll be America. You're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers, Pepsi Cola.
It's a very nice track. It's one of the best tracks in the Grand Prix circuit. And I enjoy going there very much. It'll be interesting to see Lewis Hamilton in the press room after he is a six-time world champion. That is quite an achievement, Mr. Roger. One more than Fangio, one less than Schumacher. Who would have thought?
Well, let me put it this way. So Tony Stewart will be there doing a demo in a stock car. And you know how he sums it up? No competition.
Okay. But Tony is, he started out actually, he was, I think, if I remember correctly, the first, not just the first, but the joint first IRL champion. Tony Stewart is a great racing talent, I'll tell you that.
I agree. I'm a big Smoke fan.
Will he really be in Austin?
Yeah, he'll be there doing demos.
Well, if I get a chance, I'll try to do an interview with him.
Absolutely. Tell him I said hi.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure he will love your quiche Lorraine as a side order with his hot dog.
Correct.
So let me ask you your favorite question while we are talking about Texas. Who's going to win the U.S. Grand Prix?
It's going to be those Mercedes with their straight line speed.
Very good. Very good. I think you need a break and some Stella Artois.
Some nachos and some habanero sauce.
Yes, and some Stella Artois so you can get back to whatever normalcy is for Mr. Rogers.
That's true. I am off on the deep end right now. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
A lot of pressure from everybody today with Sebastian, with Hamilton.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, NASA Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and may I suggest and recommend that you put on your noise-canceling Bose headphone, because we're going to start with some points to ponder about some factoid from Mexico. Okay, now listen to this. 100 victory for Mercedes as a constructor and 100 podium for Lucky Dog as a Mercedes driver, becoming only the second driver after the M. Schumacher to have 100 podiums with one team. Very, very impressive. Victory was number 83 for Lucky Dog, now only 8 behind the all-time record of 91 Grand Prix wins of Schumacher, which depending on the package, he may be able to meet or eclipse next season. And that should be a very, very momentous occasion in the history of motor racing. Okay, and I never call Lewis Hamilton the greatest and never will. It's hard to really compare people from different eras. But you cannot argue when people have stats like 4 championship, 91 wins, blowing away everybody on their debut, blowing everybody in the rain in Monte Carlo, 1984. So all these great drivers, I enjoy them and I appreciate and love what they do on the track. And sir, what a podium we had in Mexico. First time in F1 history, the winning car made a podium appearance. This podium was even more cooler than the Monza podium. I think it was very cool. Did you like that, sir? The silver car up there with the driver.
It was fine, but the selfie guy was annoying.
Okay, yeah, he's getting some press too. And, okay, so now I was going to do a little segment of Thieves in the Temple, Renault being disqualified from the Japanese Grand Prix. But, you know, we've already covered that. And, you know, all these issues that are coming with Renault about rumors are circulating that Russian Lawrence Stroll, also known as Dmitry Mazepin and Papito of Nikita Mazepin, is apparently making a bid for the team. Renault F1 performance, the upheaval at the top level of management is definitely not good for the team. And most of all, CEO behind bars is not a PR strategy recommended by Saatchi and Saatchi. And sir, as we look at a little historia, the Mexico Grand Prix, first Mexican Grand Prix, Championship Grand Prix, was 1963, won by Jim Clark and a Lotus, surprise. There were 6 American drivers in this race. Highest place was Richie Ginther in 3rd. Dan Gurney was 6th. Hap Sharp was 7th. Jim Hall of Chaparral fame was 8th. Phil Hill, first American world champion. And Maston Gregory, winner of the 1965 Le Mans race, did not finish in this event. 1965, very famous maiden wins for 3 situation driver, Richie Ginther, manufacturer Honda, and tire supplier Goodyear. So quite a day for all these 3 entities. Dan Gurney won the race in 1964 in a Brabham. And many years later, his son Alex would take victory here in a sports car race. And of course, I did not watch the 64 Grand Prix live, but I did watch the Alex Gurney winning the race on TV, and he was a very happy camper. First ever win for Benetton team and Gerhard Berger in 1986. He ran nonstop on Pirelli tires. So they were back in operation in those days also, but a small player in those days. 1989, Machismo and Totally TF move on the above driver by Il Leone in his Ferrari at the fast Peraltada corner. F1 drivers from Mexico include Ricardo and his brother Pedro Rodriguez, Moises Solana, who was a friend of Joe Ramirez, Hector Rabach, Esteban Gutierrez, and now Checo, also known as Sergio Perez. And sir, I did not know this, but thanks to Martin Brundle, now I know this. The Mexican Grand Prix track, present configuration, is the second shortest track on the F1 calendar, and the only one shorter than this in length is Monte Carlo Street Circuit. Of all the races that have been running since the last century, Mexican Grand Prix is one of 3 that has always taken place at the same track. The other 2 are Monaco and Hungarian Grand Prix. And sir, now we come to a fantastic race at a fantastic track, MotoGP from Phillip Island in Australia. Marc Marquez, he can go 55. What a race, and like I said, beautiful track. Valentino Rossi was the early leader, then Maverick Vinales took control and led most of the race. Stalking him all the way to the final lap was Marc Marquez, and at the start of the final lap, Marc made his move and took the lead. It was going to be a dogfight till the end, but then Vinales crashed out on his own, and he later said, "I would rather crash than finish second." So good racing thinking. Victory for Marquez was win number 55 in MotoGP. He is really making a great name for himself and is definitely on the list of the all-time greats like Giacomo Agostini and Valentino Rossi, who has the most GP MotoGP wins. Okay, sir, now we come to WRC, World Rally Championship. Ottanak from Estonia finished second in Rally Espania to win the WRC Championship, thus ending 15 years of domination by drivers from your Shangri-La, France, namely the two Sebastians, Sebastian Loeb and Sebastian Ogier. That's a pretty long domination to win 15 years World Championship. Very impressive. Tanak becomes first Toyota driver to become WRC champion since 1994 when Didier Auriol took the title, and Didier was also from Francia. Winner in Rally Espania was Thierry Neuville of Belgium in a Hyundai. Now, talking of Hyundai, this is a car company that in the late 80s was selling $6,000 cheap cars in the US with catchy advertising of 60 seconds of common sense. Do you remember those ads and those cheap cars from Hyundai, sir?
Absolutely.
Their reliability was just a little bit longer than 60 seconds. Very, very bad reputation for this company in those days. Fast forward today, and this is based on industry data, their reliability is now almost on par with Honda and Toyota. And I was shocked to read this. Globally, they are selling more cars than Ford Motor Company. So the moral of the story is, proving once again, you must take any and all competition very seriously, or you may end up in deep kimchi. Do you agree with me, sir?
Si.
Gracias. Okay, now we come to a series that I've not watched all the races, but because of a few good talents there, I've enjoyed watching, and that is the Porsche Super Cup, which is, like a supporting event. They have these Porsche Cup in Germany, England, France, Japan, China, Australia, here in the US, Canada, and then they have a mother of all Porsche Cup, the Porsche Super Cup. The season finale was a doubleheader in Mexico City, and it was a case of Deutschland über alles. Michael Emmer Müller took pole position and victories in both races to take his third successive Porsche Cup title. Once upon a time, Emmer Müller was touted as the next Michael Schumacher, believe it or not. If I remember correctly, he won a GP2 race on his debut weekend in the series and then drove for Team Germany in A1 GP series. It was in this series, in a race at Sepang, he made three boneheaded moves in the same corner during the weekend, and I think that pretty much put a kibosh on his F1 aspirations. Nevertheless, Das, congratulations to him on three-peat, and we wish him well for 2020. The Rookie of the Year title was won by Ehancan Güven from Turkey. This kid and a young French driver, Julian and Lauer, are very good talent, and we shall keep an eye on their progress. And frankly speaking, it was because of these two kids, Güven and Lauer, that I followed the series this year. Now, as you know, Mr. Rogers, federal law and FCC regulations prohibit F1 Weekly podcast without any mention of Nando. Like, we have not mentioned him yet. But today we have real news. Machismo from Oviedo has been confirmed as a Toyota driver in next year's Dakar Rally, which will take place in January, of all the places in Saudi Arabia. If he wins, he will join Jackie Ickx as a Grand Prix and Dakar Rally winner. Perhaps the local will give him a new title, Sheikh Alonso. Sir, if we have some time, we have a little segment called Tales of Toto Domination. How are we doing on time?
I think we got another 8 years of Hamilton, so let Toto go.
Okay. Under the dynamic leadership of Toto Wolff, the Mercedes F1 team has reached new heights in Formula 1. 6 Constructors and Drivers' Championships in a row. Hard to believe this is even better than what Ferrari had in their halcyon days with the Red Baron. To mark this wonderful achievement, we shall look at another similar uber-domination season from the pages of Formula 1. Today we are going back all the way to page 1 in the 1950 Grand Prix season. In those days, Indy 500 used to be part of the Formula 1 World Championship and was till 1960. And if you take out this race from the 1950 season, then we have Formula 1's version of the Immaculate season with Alfa Romeo winning all the remaining 6 races. As we all know, Silverstone is the birthplace of Formula 1 World Championship, and Nino Farina from Italy won the opening round from pole position, and Her Majesty's Papito, King George, was in attendance. And this race took place on a Saturday. Round two was in Monte Carlo, and it was all first F1 victory for the maestro Juan Manuel Fangio. This race also saw the first appearance in Formula One of an American driver, and that was Harry Schell. It was a very brief debut. Nine cars were eliminated on the opening lap, including his Cooper. And this, the second round, Monaco Grand Prix, is also famous for being the very first F1 race for Scuderia Ferrari. They did not show up at Silverstone. Next Grand Prix was Switzerland at the Bremgarten Street Circuit. Farina was the winner ahead of teammate and fellow Italian Luigi Fagioli. Then came Spa, the old classic Spa, which included Malmedy and Master King. Fangio was the winner. Pierre Lavey, the driver who was later involved in the 55 Le Mans crash, was seventh in his Talbot Lago. Reims Street Circus, and I've been to this place, and it's beautiful, and you've been there, and it was your picture at that place that brought us together. Talk about karma. Reims Street Circuit was the venue for the penultimate round, the French Grand Prix. Fangio was the winner. The grandstands and drivers' meeting room are still preserved along the Route Nationale. I don't know the number, highway number. Do you know the number, sir?
No.
Okay. And I will highly recommend a visit to this track if possible. Actually, it was Martin Brundle who told me that I should go there, and I was lucky enough to spend some quality time there a few years ago. And tell you, man, standing in that old small driver's room and thinking of Fangio, Clark, Brabham, Hawthorne, Gurney, they all stood in that room once upon a time, was a chill factor to the max. The season finale was at Pista Magica, also known as Monza Autodromo. Quite a day for the Tifosis. Alfa Romeo first and fourth, Ferrari second and third. Nino Farina winning the race and becoming the first ever world champion. Something tells me he did not celebrate winning at Monza like Sebastian going ring ding ding and doing the Egyptian dance. Okay, sir, and for the record, the 1950 Indy 500 was won by Johnny Parsons in a Curtis Craft Offenheiser. So I hope you enjoyed that, sir, and I hope our listeners enjoyed that too. And now we come to famous last words. This is Sebastian Vettel after the Mexican Grand Prix and on being impressed by Lewis's tire management. This is what he said, I quote, "If you are a woman on this planet and you have this guy giving you a massage like he's treating the tires, it's pure magic," end of quote. And all I can say is, watch out, Lewis. Desiree will be calling.
Keep up the good work, Nass.
Well, I hope you have calmed down and you are feeling good, and that you will thoroughly enjoy the Nathan's U.S. Grand Prix at COTA.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't know what the weather forecast is. Have you looked at the Austin weather forecast?
No.
Man, I don't want any rain.
Well, it doesn't matter. You still know who's going to win.
Charles Leclerc?
I'm afraid not.
Who could it be then?
I don't know. Somebody that has a low carbon footprint, but gets a good salad every day.
Oh, yeah, the slings and arrows on one of the greats. That is sad.
Yeah, it's going to get worse. With Renault gone next year, no, 2021, no Renault, no Fernando, I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Well, there is, you know, NASCAR and NASCAR Lights. What is it called? The Nationwide Series or Camping World Truck Series. You know what you should do? I'll tell you. There are tons and tons of motorsports action on YouTube, and which is what I really enjoy these days. You know, I've been watching, like, on Friday or Saturday, they had the Super Formula race from Japan live. Formula Eurocup, you would like this. You know where they're? I think it was the final race. You know where it took place? You won't believe this. Past weekend. Yas Marina. Yeah, Yas Marina. These races are all on YouTube, and there's a lot of historical stuff. So there's all sorts of motorsports to enjoy. Don't feel bad because Nando has left the room.
Well, I'm taking an interest in the PBA.
PBA being?
Professional Bowlers Association.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, PBA are there. And, well, PBA will go very well with PBR, so.
That's my point.
All the power to you, Mr. Rogers.
Yes, it's a little more gentle. You know, there's less cheating in PBA. It's all out in the open.
Cheating. A friend of mine, he used to do club-level racing, and he made once a comment to me. He said, the first thing you do in racing is you cheat. And there have been all these famous cases of people have taken, you know, unfair advantage. I mean, you know, there is this famous story of Penske in the 60s having his fuel tanks up high in the air. So, well, too much gravity and fill up the tank early. So, boys will be boys, you know, they'll come up with creative ideas.
Oh, yes. They do come up with good creative ideas. That, I concur. And on that note, Nass, happy LCH days to you. I want to thank everybody who listens to my bullshit. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A lot of pressure from everybody today, with Sebastian, with Hamilton, with Button. But it was good to defend. The only place to overtake here normally is 10-6, and out of 10-3, we had a very good car, a very good traction, and we were able to keep the position. And then the team did a very good job at the start. That was fantastic. Good time for the calls, for the pit stop, and a good pit stop also itself. So, in general, a perfect race. The team, I think, deserved this victory, and we need to work a little bit to close the gap that I think we still have with the competitors in terms of pure performance, because we cannot forget that when Sebastian or Jenson had a little bit of free air, they were quicker than us, so we need to keep improving.